copyright forum of Christian leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
Very simple. Again, what is the media? It is funny what we now call traditional media, television, which is not that long. I do wish at this point to inform all of you that television was invented in Scotland, as were most good things invented in Scotland. You name it, if it's good, it probably had its origin in Scotland. The road was invented in Scotland. The tyre was invented in Scotland. Television was invented in Scotland. Modesty was invented in Scotland as well. We are the most modest people in the world. But we have the media. We have television. We have radio, news media. Books are all media. It's a means of public communication, public spreading of a message. There are modern media, which are obviously still include those, but the most significant invention since the printing press, since the Gutenberg printing press, is the internet. And because of that as well, you've got things like mobile phones, Twitter, and Facebook. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about the media. Two issues that are of most significance to me, it's when we talk about control and freedom. Governments like to control media because they can then control the message. To what extent do we have freedom in the media, and how can we use freedom? I sometimes get asked to do things for the BBC. And in fact, there's something going out this Sunday morning for the BBC. But they asked to see my script and to edit my script. And they certainly wouldn't let me do it live. Which is interesting, because a lot of that is about control. We talk about freedom of speech. But what can we say and how can we say it? And actually, the internet has been particularly helpful in lots of ways, because it allows people to say things that maybe you wouldn't. I'm not convinced that they won't find a way to be able to limit the internet. There are, in terms of the internet, let's deal with that first. There are obvious strengths in the internet. The first is that it gives you access to a vast amount of information. You can Google something, or look up Wikipedia, or lots and lots of different things. You can get loads and loads and loads of information. Also, it's all over the world. Also, in general, it's very accessible, except in the hotel here when all the delegates are not in a meeting, when for some reason it hardly seems to go at all. But in that sense, it's a tremendous resource. There are, of course, enormous weaknesses with it. One actually is its very availability can be a real weakness. It can cause all kinds of problems. I think that there are, because of that, a tremendous opportunities. Not quite what we think. Someone will say, if I put an open letter or a blog or a sermon on the internet, then, you know, 3 billion people could read it. Yeah, but 3 billion people are not going to read it. You're going to do really well if 30 people read it. There's so much information that people are just drowning in a sea of information. I think there are opportunities for churches to use the internet, but I'm going to make a specific plea, and the plea is this, that you, if you do have a website, that you absolutely, absolutely make sure that the website is well-designed and well-run. I don't know how many church websites I've gone to that you read page under construction or telling you about services and events that occurred 2 years ago. And some basic stuff they miss out, like how to get to your church or what it's about. It's very, very easy to download or to get a website design program. And I would just plead with you, if you possibly can, don't do that and put it up yourself. Get somebody who actually knows what they're doing. That can be frustrating too. I am still waiting for my own church website to be redesigned and revamped. We are just about there. The guy who's doing it assures me it's going to be ready for next week. That is about 9 months after we started redesigning it. I hope it'll be worth it. It doesn't need to be all singing and all dancing, but it does need to be interactive. And here's the criteria for a church website. It should be so good that everyone in your church wants to use it for their homepage. And if it's not that good, I'm not saying you shouldn't bother, but you should try and aim for that. So I think there are tremendous opportunities in terms of a website and in terms of how you communicate it with that website. I think there are also threats. One is a very simple threat, is that just as the splitting of the atom can result in nuclear energy, which provides light and heat and so on, it can also be used to build a nuclear bomb. Just as the internet can be used for good, it can also be used for bad. The Gutenberg Press can be used to print Bibles, it can be used to print pornography. The internet can be used to spread hatred, it can be used for abuse, it can be used for pornography. Just as a small aside, most churches should be prepared to offer help to people who suffer from becoming addicted to internet pornography. I used to think that's not really going to affect my church. I mentioned it in a sermon once, and afterwards three guys approached me, and I had someone in my church who knew how to counsel with that, and so they started meeting up with him. So there are threats in terms of the internet. Another threat is in terms of religion as well, in terms of Christianity, is there are people who can go on the internet in your church who can hear fantastic sermons or hear a great praise band or something on the internet, and then they come into your church and you're nowhere near as good as what they can see. And that can become a little bit frustrating. Let me think about print media. Two forms, newspapers and books. Particularly in terms of books, I'm thinking of strengths. So here's one of the strengths. Here's a book. Well, in fact, no, let's use this. The Quench book. We just put that on the internet. Why do we bother printing it? Why do we bother killing trees and destroying the environment in order to have a printed book? Why pay for it? Why not just download it on the internet? Because although people do read on the internet, often people tend not to read whole pages. The medium itself tends to force people to jump around, and especially when you've got all the hyperlinks. And even if you downloaded it onto something like a Kindle, I don't know, there's something different about holding a book in your hand. I use Kindle and I like it a lot, and I love the fact that I can come to Poland and take 1,000 books with me. But somehow for me, and it's not just because I'm old-fashioned, sitting with an actual book, smelling the paper, holding something physical, there are strengths. Books will tend to be a lot more permanent. I wrote this book about McShane, and I mean all these chapters could be just put on the internet. People could read them, and you think that would be fine. But the book seems to have more impact. And I would say in evangelism, always have for yourself at least two or three books that you can give away to people. You meet somebody or you're talking to somebody. I like C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. It wasn't suitable for a lot of people. But I've had different books. And the other thing you can use in terms of books is, why not start a book club? And I don't mean Christian books. In your area, and especially for all you people in Northwest Poland who've got no cafe to go to. I don't know. My wife began one in our street, really for people just in our street. And they would choose a book that was currently quite popular or whatever, obviously a secular book. Do you know this? All the really good secular books, every single one of them brings up religion in one way or other. And I think there's tremendous strengths in being able to use books. Now, the print media as well, newspapers. Some people think that newspapers are dying, and they may well die. But there are also some tremendous strengths. Again, the actual physical newspaper, printing of photographs, getting involved if you can. There are, of course, weaknesses. Some of the same weaknesses as apply in terms of, oops, is that social media? Got that the wrong way around. Let me just mention, go back to that, print media, the strengths. So let me just mention some of the weaknesses. Some books are really, really boring. There are some people who just don't like reading. You have to try and encourage them to read. Sometimes there aren't suitable books on subjects that you would like. Newspapers have become increasingly dumbed down, become quite specialized. You find that certainly in Great Britain, sales of newspapers are declining. Sales of magazines, especially ones with high quality writing, are increasing. Sales of pornography magazines are declining. That is because internet porn is basically free, a lot of it, and people much more accessible. As I said, I think there are opportunities. You need to think about the opportunities that exist. Because of desktop publishing, it's much, much easier to publish a book. If you've got any kind of gift of writing, why not try to publish a book? Why not be the next J.K. Rowling with your multi-million seller? Or just write a simple history of your area, print it as a pamphlet. Why not in your local newspaper write letters to the newspaper? Why not ask your local newspaper if you'd be allowed to write an occasional column, Christian column? Who knows, they may say no. I did it when I was up north. Every week I wrote in a local newspaper that we called the Raggy. And they allowed me to write a Christian column. So I think there are lots of opportunities, and of course there are threats as well. If you are involved with journalists, just let me give you one or two guidelines about being involved with journalists. If you ever find yourself in a position where you're doing an interview, record it. Never, ever, ever say, can you quote me off the record? Because you end up in a lot of trouble with that. If you're going to say something, say it in public. It's going to be printed. It's a public thing. Say it in public and be prepared for the consequences that come in there. Sometimes your local media or your national media will have a portrayal of the Christian church which is grotesquely unfair. Tell them. Phone them up. Write them. I'm intrigued at how many times I've written to newspapers or television stations and said, look, what you said there about the Christian church was not correct. It was factually wrong, it was discriminatory, and so on. And very often I do get a letter of apology. And a television producer told me that they do consider every letter that comes in. So you don't need to make a big fuss, you don't need to have a big campaign, but you can contact people. And do it the other way as well. We've got this program going out on Sunday, as I said, and for the next four Sundays there'll be services from St. Peter's. I'm sure some people will write in and complain, but I know that the producer of that program will really appreciate if people write in and say, this was wonderful. And it means we're more likely to be on again. I was on before and some people said it was wonderful. So there are opportunities and there are threats in that. Social media. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. How many of you are on Facebook? Let's just do a hands, okay. How many tweet? Okay, a few. Right, I hope you all become my friends. I'm the wee flea in terms of Twitter. That's my personal one. And there's Solas CPC. That's another one that we've got for Twitter. And Facebook, you can become my friends too, because I'm just a friend gatherer. You know, many have as many friends as possible so that I feel loved and so on. Right. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. This should be so obvious. I hope it's obvious. They can take away all of your time. Especially if you're stupid like me sometimes and get involved with Facebook debates or Twitter debates. At least Twitter debates are better because you're restricted to 140 characters. So why are you such an idiot works, but you can't then give a three-page answer as to why you're such an idiot. But they can take up a huge amount of time. So I would say use them, like any other media, use them very discerningly and very carefully. What I thought I'd do with this is explain what I try and do myself. Some of it you would might think, no, this won't work, or it's no good. You may disagree with it, but it's just kind of a personal thing. Facebook itself, I actually don't like Facebook. I'm on Facebook, and my church has a Facebook page. 90% of my congregation are on Facebook. So if I want to get a message out to them, I put it on Facebook, on our church's Facebook page, because a lot of them do use it. And it has a facility that can tell you how many people have looked at it. Why do I use Facebook? I'm amused sometimes at the number of people who put on things that you think, what is the point? You know, I don't care that you had cornflakes for breakfast. Why would you put that? Why am I even remotely interested? Why would anyone be interested that you had cornflakes for breakfast? But there are, on the other hand, there are other things. Facebook has been really, really good for me for making contact with people, including some of my own family. My brother, who didn't write, who didn't, you know, he's away in Indonesia, the Philippines, and hadn't had any contact with him for ages. And then all of a sudden, he became my Facebook friend. And that was just great. And now there are lots of other people like that, people who've left my church, who've gone off to other places. Facebook has been a really fantastic way of connecting with people. So use it like that. But I also use it for evangelism, and this is how I do it. About one in every three or one in every four posts, I post something that's specifically Christian. You know, I might comment on a verse in the Bible, I might make a social comment, I might do something like that, because I know that there are hundreds of people who read them, actually, who are not Christians. So, for example, in my chess club, half a dozen of the guys there are not Christians. They've never spoken to me about Christianity, really, in the chess club or in any other context. But they have written to me on Facebook. They've written a private message. They've even commented on some of the posts that are there. So I think there's some strengths in there. My weakness is if I start getting involved with a debate, it takes up way too much time. And also, the big disadvantage of internet media, social media, is you can't tell tone. Even using one of these wee smiley faces or sad faces or whatever it is, you still can't tell tone. And so it's very easy to pick something up that's wrong. What are people saying? Why are they saying it? So just be very, very careful if you get involved in these kind of debates. Twitter, I honestly thought, who on earth? What a stupid idea Twitter is. I thought, I will never, ever use Twitter. I now use it more than anything. Which is really, really sad at one level. But it's incredible how, because of its facility to do links to articles and things, how it gets used. I posted something. Richard Dawkins wrote, I'll give you an example of how this works. He wrote that a pig has more value or is more human than a 6-week-old human fetus. So I tweeted this. And immediately, some people started, no, he didn't say that. And I tweeted it again and said, yes, he did. Here's the link. And someone then tweeted me and said, well, he's right. It's just an egg. So I tweeted back, sure, it's just an egg. Try going into a restaurant and asking for scrambled fetus on toast. And I really wish I hadn't written it, because a comedian called Ricky Gervais picked up on this. And he retweeted my comment, and then he tweeted me personally and began a debate with me, for which I had 5 or 6 tweets. And he was very aggressive, very thing. But Ricky Gervais has 5 million followers. So every time he tweeted, his tweet went to 5 million people. I was doing a wedding. I started getting tweets, all, you know, hundreds of tweets every hour from all these people saying, die, Christian scumbag. You know, and that was some of the more polite ones. What kind of idiot are you? And I always love it when people send you a tweet like that and they don't spell idiot properly. It's just great. But, you know, it was incredible. And yet I realized that if people were following Gervais and he was retweeting, there was a possibility for me to actually get some stuff in there. So I tried to be as calm as I could, and I tried to get across some Christian stuff. And fair enough, there were some people who wrote me personally and said, you know, we don't understand. You seem to be quite intelligent. How come you're not one of these idiotic Christians? And is there such a thing as an intelligent Christian? You are such a strange creature. And we began a correspondence. So there are opportunities and there are threats in all of that with the social media. Actually, YouTube is really interesting. You can use YouTube for lots of things and put links to it, and you can also make comments on YouTube. Broadcasting, television and radio. TV is really difficult to get into, and it's a really hard thing to do from a Christian perspective because it is so expensive to do proper television. My interest is in getting onto not secular television. I have a wonderful face for radio, and I don't like appearing on television as far as possible. I think radio is so much better, but I used to think the broadcast media were totally against Christianity. I think now, like much of the other media, they're just ignorant. And what, the week before I came here, I managed to be on STV News, the Scottish Television News, talking with them. I've done quite a bit radio stuff. There are strengths, there are weaknesses, there are opportunities, there are threats. When you come to a hotel like this and it's got this ridiculous television screen, I'm thinking, okay, you got all the Polish channels, which have English stroke American films, which have this really badly dubbed Polish. You know, it's just one voice doing all the things. But anyway, fair enough. You've got Italian, you've got German, you've got Al Jazeera, and there was no English speaking. That's fair enough. You've got Russian. But it didn't matter that I couldn't understand what was being said except a bit of the German. To me, every television satellite stuff is pretty well the same everywhere I've gone in the world. It's so banal and dull. It's so 57 channels and nothing on. And I think, I'd just love to get some Christian input into all of that. And radio as well. Okay, I mean, that's ridiculously brief overview of media. You can go to a whole thread on media in ELF, and I would encourage you to do that sometimes, but I do really, really want to encourage you. And one of the things I want with our Solas groups is that they think about how to work with local media. Local newspapers, local radio, if you're in a major city, it then tends to become national TV, national radio, and to encourage people to actually get involved in that in terms of becoming producers, directors, actors, speakers, newscasters, journalists, or whatever. But there's a whole wide world out there, and we do have tremendous opportunities.